You're just going to run that place and that person like the way you run your own company. In the end, you don't contact God, you lose, they lose. And to those who don't have, and who are not going to see, and I know, right in the town where I minister in, I have one businessman who have gone through a hard time, and etc. And he had a lot of friends among the top businessmen in town. And he tells me that in that particular church, I know because that he happens to be also one of my friends. And I feel sad. I had to pray for him. When a man who is famous in town, in the business world comes, he personally escorts that person right to the front seat. Sometimes ask the person to say a prayer. Body of Christ, this is the last days. Let's get rid of these kind of things. I mean, I don't care whether people stop giving offering or not, but let's preach the word and get rid of these kind of things. Let's get rid of these kind of things that are disgusting in God. These are the kinds of things that Micah talks about. Where James talks about. Whether people get offended or not, we must tell people that in the body of Christ, in the church, that there is no respect for rich or poor. There's no respect for whether you have something after your name, before your name, or between your name. What your status is, what your title is. And to those who are really sincere and hungry, I can tell you, a lot of people who are up there, who have all the attention in the world, what they want is to be as ordinary as possible. Because they miss that. The more famous you become, the more you miss the common fellowship. So we as a church, we realize the reason I say this is because in the last days, God is going to bring people from all echelons of society to know Jesus Christ. And the church must always be a place where all are equal in the sight of God. And whether someone has a title before or after their name, all the seats are free sitting. Only for what I call convention purposes, where certain people, first come first serve, who needs to sit or ushers and everything, that is for the organizational logistics area, but not for status area. Only a few weeks ago, one of my associate pastors went to attend one of the most prominent men of God in Asia. See, God is doing in Asia a fivefold work. And he said, this man of God, whom I also know, who ministers to 1 million people at one time, 500,000 at one time, who have a tremendous anointing. And all these people who organized the meeting were from all the different kinds of traditions or Christianity, etc. Some know the Spirit partly, some know partially, some don't know anything about Holy Spirit. But this man is full of the Holy Ghost. And then as a man of God stood up to minister, all these ceremonies before the meeting took an hour. By the time the man of God go up, and the man of God said, how much time do I have? And they said, oh, you got up to 9:30. My associate minister said he was grieved. He come all the way to draw the anointing. And they got all these dull preliminaries. And so-and-so must give a speech first, this one must come first, this one come first, this one come first. No Holy Spirit. Then the man with the Spirit come up. Say, how much time do you have? Oh, you got about half an hour. And then he had a question and answer time where it was personal. Only ministers were there. And pastors and ministers. Where they could ask questions. And so, or at least the questions were asked. Then he came to one of the final questions. The question was, could you share some of your experiences in heaven? See, this man had been to heaven several times. Then that man turned to look to the organizer. He says, how much time do I have? Organizer say, 5 minutes. the man could not share. And my associate minister, he loved this man, he's a good friend of this man, he could call him personally, says his heart sank. He said he came all the way for that. And then there's something he has that nobody else has, you know, draw the anointing. And all these preliminaries taken away. Church, it's time to really do what the Spirit wants us to do. And let that genuineness from our heart and our spirit flow forth. A lot of it is plastic. The real one is not there. And we need to reach a stage where we really hunger for God. And we reach back into God like Micah exhorted the people. Now in the book of Micah, there is a prophetic flow. Micah is a book specially recorded in order for us to know what will take place after the age of the Gentiles. See, Micah has certain eschatological places that he points to. Start with chapter 1 in verse 3 and 4. For behold, the Lord is coming out of his place. He will come down and tread on the high places of the earth. The mountains will melt under him and the valleys will split. Now this points straight to Zechariah chapter 14. Let's turn to that. Zechariah chapter 14. Says here in verse 3, then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem to the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two, the valley shall be split from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north, half of it to the south. Then you shall flee through my mountain valley, for the mountain valley shall reach to Azel. Yes, you shall flee, as you fled from the earthquake. The mountains will melt before him. The mountains shall be split before him. This kind of prophecy points to the second coming of Jesus to the earth. Jesus Christ will come back again in two dispensations. One is called a rapture for the church. The other is coming for the Jewish people. The separation time is roughly a period of about 7 years. See, what happens is that the church is now looking for one major thing called the rapture. After the rapture has taken place, then it will move back to the Jewish dispensation. And after the Jewish dispensation, which has only one last week, it's called the last week of Daniel. At the end of the last week of Daniel, will be the second coming of Jesus to this earth. When Jesus comes to this earth, Micah the prophet prophesies some of the things that will take place when Jesus comes to the earth. So in chapter 1, he speaks and he points to that coming eschatologically. In chapter 2 of the book of Micah, in verse 12, he talks about a gathering. I will surely assemble all of you, O Jacob. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together like sheep of the fold, like a flock in the midst of their pasture. They shall make a loud noise because of so many men. The one who breaks open will come up before them. They will break out, pass through the gate, go out by it. Their king will pass before them with the Lord at their head. Now in verse 12 it says, he will gather the remnant of Israel. He will put them together like the sheep of the flock in the midst of their pasture. They shall make a loud noise because of men.
And it says, the king will pass before them. The Lord will be at the head. So there will be what I call a gathering together of all his people. All his people will be gathered unto him. And they will acknowledge him whom they pierce. Once again, they will acknowledge the Messiah, the true Messiah, Jesus Christ. Then chapter 3, the third thing will take place. In verse 8, but truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgressions and to Israel his sin. Now notice, immediately the gathering is for the third thing, number 3, the judgment of Israel, followed by the other judgment of the nations. In the book of Matthew, we look at the book of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 28. It says, so Jesus said to them, assuredly, I say to you, that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. There will be a judging on the tribe of Israel. We don't fully know what is involved there, but there is a prophecy that points to that. There will be a spirit of might and a judgment that will come. Then in chapter 4, after the judgment, in verse 2, chapter 4 verse 2, many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Look at verse 3. He shall judge between many peoples, and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning forks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. There will be, following that, number 4, a judgment of nations. So the first nation is Israel, followed by the judgment of nations in the Bible. Now let's tie it back to the book of Revelations. The book of Revelations, chapter 20, verse 4. Chapter 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Who are the them? Now it is easy to understand if it is the he, because the he will obviously be the Lord Jesus Christ. But here it says, I saw thrones. And this is after the coming of Jesus Christ on the planet earth, and that is in the book of Revelation, is chapter 19 verse 11. He come on a white horse. The white horse coming is different from the rapture. The white horse coming is the same one in Zechariah 14, and he lands. See, when the Lord comes again, he will come in judgment. We must understand this. Jesus Christ has two major comings. When he comes in his first coming, it is for redemption. He came to redeem Israel, he came to redeem the Gentiles. When Jesus comes again, although we look excitedly at the second coming, remember, when he comes, it's for the judgment. And we need to know, because of that, the Great Commission must go forth. That is why it's imperative then the Great Commission must go forth, that all may hear and know. See, when Jesus comes in the rapture, which is His second coming in the